That's my message this morning. Jesus said, before you go, stay, wait, tarry. Whom shall stay? The blessing of waiting. Now, don't get me wrong. God, throughout our lives, there are times where God says, go. 2/3 of God's name is go. Sometimes situations happen where God moves us. But I want to talk this morning to really minister to many of us who God hasn't moved you. God has told you to stay. The blessing of staying. The blessing of waiting. Are you ready to hear the word this morning? There's a blessing. Isaiah 40 verse 31, the Bible says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Those who stay, those who wait, those who tarry. They shall mount upon wings like eagle. They shall run and not grow weary. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8, you may be familiar with it. The Bible says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. I really believe today, if Isaiah, God was speaking, and I believe he is speaking, the word he's saying today is, not who shall we send, who shall go. I think the word today is, who will stay? Who shall stay for us? And that's a good time to say, here I am, Lord, I will stay. Somebody has to stay. Somebody has to disciple the people. Somebody has to build. Who will go for us? Today's word from heaven may also echo in your spirit. Who will stay for us? Who will tarry? Who will wait? So many go to the mission field, but never stay there. Just go and come back. Maybe God wants people to go and to stay. Pastor Henny always used to teach us, when you go to the mission field, you're taking your coffin with you. I'll take your coffee machine with as well. Build houses there. Stay there. Staying, I want you to see this morning, there's a blessing. Many of you are frustrated, and it helps us because many times God takes a little longer than what we expect. Am I right? Oh God, give me the spirit of longevity. Help me to be more patient. But God, just hurry up. There's a blessing in waiting. There's a blessing in being patient. There's a blessing in staying. When everybody's leaving, everybody's going, and you feel like you're missing out, let me tell you, hey, God is still at work. I want to share that this morning. Whom shall stay for us? Here I am, Lord. I will stay. Somebody has to stay. Somebody has to raise the kids. Somebody has to change the city. Somebody has to rebuild, restore the potholes. There's a time to go, but there's a time to stay. There's a time to wait. The kingdom of God is looking for people who will stay as well. Who won't just only go, but are also willing to stay. If everybody on the soccer field wants to go and score a goal, who's going to defend? Abraham decided to stay. In Hebrews 11 verse 9 to 6, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac, as did Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking for the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He didn't move. He decided to stay. Isaac was exactly the same. Isaac was under financial pressure. He wanted to move. God told him, no, you're not going to move. You're going to stay there. I'm going to bless you there. My hand is upon you. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. So there are many examples in the Bible of people who stayed. Stay. It's an anointed word. Stay. Wait. Tarry. I'm going to have to be anxious. I just have to always unplug yourself, uproot yourself. I understand there are times. It's not a one size fits all. People, God does move people. Please understand me. But I've just seen how God builds. And I'm ministering this, especially to people. Because even if you move, then you've got to move to something. You've got to stay somewhere, unless you want to be a gypsy. You know, a tree has roots that bears fruits. Tumbleweed just tumbles around. A wanderer. The Bible speaks about wanderers. People were in the desert going round and round. They never had roots. They never could build things. There's a time to have a tent, but then there's a time to have a house. Amen. It's okay to have a tent for a season, but then there comes where you need a house. Now, the Bible is full of stories of people who stayed. Ruth stayed with Naomi. She could have left, but she decided to stay with Naomi. And said, your God will be my God. Wherever you go, I will go. I'll stay with you. Sometimes you have to stay, Christian. And it's tough in the natural. But in the long time, in the long run, you see God's wisdom unfold. And what would have taken years, God can do in a moment for you. I'm here to encourage somebody here that is sick and tired of staying. That you want to quit, that you want to move as in the flesh. You want to make a fleshly, carnal mistake today. Listen, there's a blessing in staying. There's a blessing in tarrying. You have to suppress all those feelings that want to unplug you, uproot you, to take you out. You know, if there's one thing Satan does, he hates it when people are rock solid, immovable, unshakable people. That'll say, God has planted me here. Those who are planted in the house shall flourish in the courts of our God. Don't lend your ears out to the wrong voices. Listen to what God says in His Word. There is a blessing in staying. God's got your number. You will never miss out on anything that you're not supposed to. Are you listening this morning? I'm preaching for everybody here. Jonathan stayed with David. It was unpopular. His dad was the king. David was the enemy. And the son now has to make this tough decision between his bloodline family or David. Many times I've had to make that decision. You as well. We have to make sometimes a decision between our natural family and what God wants us to do. I'm not talking about being rebellious. If you're a 13-year-old kid, please. You don't have a choice. You have to submit to mom and dad. I'm talking about adults here. Jonathan stayed with David. He could see something different on David. He knew David was right. He could see his father was in the flesh. He stayed with David. What about Elisha? Elisha stayed with Elijah. He stayed. Het geblei. You know, there's some people God brings into your life. You're meant to stay in that relationship. There's some relationships, I understand, that are not from God, that are unhealthy, that are toxic, that are abusive. That's a different story. Those relationships you have to get out of. But Elisha stayed with Elijah, and Elisha's benefited from the relationship. Elisha had a desire to do double what Elijah did, and because of him staying with Elijah, the blessing was passed on. The anointing was transferred through serving. And you can study the life of Elijah in the Old Testament. He did double what his predecessor did. Something about people who stay, they end up doing more. Paul stayed in the Philippian jail. Think about it. Yes, Paul and Silas, they've been imprisoned. They're in chains. It's not a nice place. It's midnight and they just begin to start praising and worshiping God. The jailer is listening in on this. What's going on with these people? But their praise has attracted a supernatural move of God that the whole jail and the whole region began to shake. There was an earthquake. And supernaturally, this is New Testament, by the way. New Testament, Paul and Silas's praise unleashed the supernatural in their life and in the situation. Never underestimate the power of praising God. In 2026, you can praise God and heaven can intervene in your situation. I didn't say it, the Bible says it. Paul and Silas are busy praising, their hands are tied up in chains, and all of a sudden God sends a miracle, because there were people that were praying for them as well. And the chains fall off, the prison doors open up. The jailer, the poor jailer, because in those days, if somebody in your watch just all of a sudden disappears, you're gone. You're finished. It's on you, because it's on your watch. So he's about to commit suicide because the prison doors are opening. People are being set free. And this poor jailer is so worried and stressed out, he's about to commit suicide. And yes, Paul, he's about to walk out of jail and say, my God shall supply all my needs. God can break these chains, but he makes a decision to rather stay. And he goes to the jailer and he starts to say, don't kill yourself. Don't kill yourself. And he leads his whole family. His whole family got saved and baptized. You don't have to wait 6 months from salvation to water baptism. You won't find that in the scripture. When people get saved, we must baptize you. Yes, you must understand why you're getting baptized. We don't just want to make a wet Christian. Okay? But don't wait 6 months, 7 months, 12 months. Now I'm waiting for... No, it's a commandment. Get baptized. Get baptized. Paul and Silas decided to stay, and a whole family got saved and got led to Christ. Jesus is teaching his disciples, and not only the 12 but the 70, and hundreds of people are there, and Jesus starts to preach truth. And it's a hard word. It's a confrontive word. Not a nice sermon. It's a tough word. Eventually the people say, near this is not to feel. Jesus has lost his mind. He's now gone too far. And the disciples leave. Many of the people leave. And Jesus looks at his disciples and says, are you also going to leave? Are you also going to go now? Is this too hard for you as well? Is Sunday too hard for you? One day in the week to come to the house of God? Is it too hard? He's preaching truth. And he tells the disciple, is this too hard for you as well? Thank God they stayed. They stayed. They said, Jesus, where shall we go? You hold the words. You hold life in your words. What else should we be doing with our lives on a Sunday? What else should we do in the week without you, God? And they stayed. We see the blessing of staying. Thank God Noah stayed to build the ark. 120 years. I mean, that's a long time. Some of us would have given up on month 9. No, this is too much. I'm leaving now. Think about God's patience. Think about him staying with the ark, building the ark. You know, the beautiful thing is the rain. God kept the rain until the ark was finished. He kept the rain back. I want to tell you, God is building his church. He's not coming back till his church is restored and strong. The house of God is the ark of God in the New Testament. God is building his house. There's a delay, but he's coming back. Thank God Noah stayed to build the ark. I want you to know, in each case, past, present, and future, staying will cost us, will cost you, will cost me. Cost them in the Bible, it'll cost us today in 2026. You must understand that. God puts before us life and death, blessing and cursing. It's choices. It may cost us our safety, our status, our luxury, our comfort, our lifestyle, entertainment. It cost them in the Old Testament. It cost them in the New Testament. It'll cost you today. But those that stay made a decision for the sake of covenant. That's the game changer. They stayed for heaven's sake, for the calling of God, for obedience to God's word. They stayed for other people. They stayed out of obedience. You must remember, the ark didn't save Noah. It was his obedience that saved Noah. Do you understand? The church can't save you. It's your obedience to God that can save you. We thank God for the ark. We thank God for the church. But it's your and my obedience that'll save us, keep us saved. We've got to walk with God. Be obedient. In 2026, what is God doing? He's speaking to the church to be obedient. He's telling her, listen, don't get caught up in what's happening in the turmoil and the noises and the shouts and the clutter and the distractions and the temptations out there. You walk your race. You run your race. You stay obedient to God's plan for your life. You don't just, if everybody jumps in the river, you don't have to jump in the river. If everybody goes, you don't have to go. You've got to get your own go before you go. Until you get a go, you should stay, because there's a blessing in waiting on God. There's a blessing in staying. I'm here to encourage somebody here today that's been tired of waiting, that's been wanting to quit, wanting to give up. I want to tell you this morning, there is a blessing in waiting. In the end, you will see how God is true and He's faithful. Isaiah 1 verse 19, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. You have to stay and be obedient to experience the best of the land. Sometimes you may be this close from breakthrough, and we quit. You've all seen the cartoon of the man digging underground. He's this close away from getting a diamond. This close. And he stops. And somebody else comes along, whoop. Obedience. Staying might feel like there's no glory, like there's no reward. Staying may feel like it's costing you, that you're missing out, that you're polishing brass on a sinking ship. It may feel like you're going backwards while everybody's moving ahead. And that's when your flesh wants to scream the most. But that's not what the scripture shows us. Scripture confirms. Obedience brings a remnant to usher in God's will. Staying may result in people getting to heaven or not. There's a price that God has for us. It's a price of obedience. When people stay, they preserve God's kingdom. They ensure worship is preserved. An altar of sacrifice and salvation is being built. An altar of praise. Staying resulted in God positioning everyone to act out great and mighty works for His glory. Maybe not at the time, but in the end, God's word speaks. Staying may seem like nothing is happening, but I want you to know God is busy working. He knows how to thrust you forward. He knows how to hasten. He knows how to accelerate. He's got your number. He knows you by name. In Acts 1 verse 9, Jesus instructed them, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait. Wait here until you receive the gift I told you about. The gift of the Father has promised. He said, don't leave, but wait. Bump your neighbor, say, don't leave, just wait. God's not finished. The story hasn't come to an end yet. God is still busy writing your life. Your life isn't over. Die Here skryf nog jou story. Dis nog nie klaar nie. The best is still to come. There may be a plot twist, there may be a setback, there may be a villain that's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. His name is Satan. But God said, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. In the end, God's word will stand. You'll see. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait. The message is very simple. Wait. Before you go, stay, dwell, tarry. Somebody has to stay. There were 500 in the upper room. 500. But in the end, after 10 days of waiting, feeling like, we didn't hear God. Somebody made a mistake here. Only 120 were left. 120 were hungry, were serious about God. They took God by His word. Even when it doesn't feel like it, they decided, no, we're going to take God by His word. God will never suffer the righteous to be ashamed. If you take God by His word, God will take you by His word. The Bible says in Jeremiah 1 verse 12, God is watching over His word to perform it. Somebody has to stay. The 500 in the upper room dwindled down to 120. The others decided not to stay. I want to tell you, there's a place to stay. There's a place to dwell. There's a time and a place for everything. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, stay. There they were, 120. And all of a sudden, like a mighty rushing wind, as we celebrate Pentecost next Sunday, please come. Don't miss it. It's going to be great. Anything can happen. Pentecost happened and the Holy Spirit fell because there were people that stayed. How exciting that must have been. How awesome that must have been. How rewarding that must have been to have been one of those 120. When everybody said, "Now we're going, man. This church thing doesn't work. These Christians, they've lost it. Everybody's leaving." The majority left, by the way. The majority left. More than half left. They said, "Ach, Nehemiah." But there was a remnant who was serious. And that's you this morning. Come on, watching online, that's you. Take God by His word. I'm here to encourage you this morning. Even when it doesn't feel like it, God's busy working. He's getting ready. The majority left, but there was 120. And what an awesome day it was. The day of Pentecost. Like a mighty rushing wind. All 120. Not 5, not 10, not 80. All. Every one of those 120 were filled with the Holy Spirit. Baptized. Speaking in tongues. Filled with the Holy Spirit. They had a fire burning on the inside. Like a mighty waterfall. Like the Zambezi waterfalls. Everybody got soaked. God poured out His Spirit on every one of those 120. Imagine the 121st guy, the last guy who left. Maybe it was 10 minutes before it happened. He just left. I want to tell you, there's a blessing in waiting. I think you get the theme of today. Staying isn't passive, it's active faithfulness. Stay in your marriage. Stay in your family. Don't walk out on your kids. Don't walk out on your purpose. Don't give up on God. Don't walk out on your church. Where God saved you. Where God blessed you. Where God fed you. Stay committed. God rewards those who wait. We saw in Isaiah 40. Jeremiah 42 verse 10. If you will still remain in this land, then I will build you. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 5. Says, build homes and plan to stay. Plant a garden. Eat the food they produce. Marry and have children. Find spouses for them so that you may have grandchildren. Multiply. Don't dwindle away. Work for peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you. Somebody has to stay. Shammah. In the Bible, Shammah was one of David's mighty men, one of the top three. He was a warrior, strong, crazy, in a good way, valiant, courageous. And he had a little bean field, nothing major, but a little bean field that God gave him, that he was faithful on. And the enemy came in, many of them, the Philistines, broke rank and came through to destroy that him and to push him off his land. But he made a decision. I'm not leaving. I'm staying. I'm committed. And he defended his field. He protected the little that God had given him. And the Bible says the Lord gave Shammah a mighty victory. He whacked every one of those Philistines that came because he made a decision. I'm staying. I want to tell you, there's a strength to people who are planted. There's a strength to people who say, I'm staying. I'm protecting. Somebody has to protect. Somebody has to build. It might as well be you. It might as well be me. I mean, he stayed. He stood his ground. The enemy came in to destroy, but he stayed. Somebody needs to stay. Somebody needs to defend. Somebody needs to fight. Not everybody should go. God can give you a go, but it's not for everybody. Whom shall we send? Whom shall go for us? I really believe, like today's Lord saying, who will stay? Who will build? It's great to see so many mission fields and trips going on. And I don't knock any minister. I don't knock any church. But there's a place of just going and coming back and going and coming back. And there's an anointing where people stay and get planted. Where they stay and they commit and they make disciples. There's strength in making disciples. It's easy to just give an altar call. But let's make disciples. Let's change our city. Let's engage with our government. Let's help them. Let's help build. Let's be the solution, not be the problem. Don't be the critic who always points the finger. Isaiah 58 says, if you'll take away the pointing of the finger, your breakthrough will come. Stop criticizing. Stop being the Facebook warrior who always has an opinion. Stay and build and have a solution. Say, okay, we have problems, there are challenges, but there's nothing our God cannot do. Hallelujah. Are you getting this morning? That's covenant minded. That's God. It's easy to walk out, easy to quit. Even the cancel culture that's so relevant and prevailing. It's my own word. I combined it. Relevant and prevailing. I call it prevalent. There's such a word. 1 Timothy 4 says, the Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith. They will walk out of their faith. They will walk out of the house. They will quit. They will stop. They will just let go and follow deceiving spirits. Listen to me. God, through the Holy Spirit, moved in the Holy Scriptures through Timothy, a young man who served Paul. Thank God Timothy stayed with Paul. And he wrote and he said, there's coming a day in the latter days, which we are here today, as in the days of Noah. So will it be. As in the days of Noah, the return of Christ. Timothy said, in the latter days, there will be some. I'll read it here. It says, in the latter days, some will abandon their faith. They'll just quit. Just give up. They won't stay. They will abandon the faith. They will walk out and follow deceiving spirits. In other words, there are spirits from Satan to deceive, to lure people out, that they will get up and follow and walk out and leave when they should have stayed. That's what the scripture says. It says, 2 Timothy 3, it says, so the second letter that Timothy writes, he says it again. When scripture repeats something twice in two books, you know it's important. It's a good time to listen. Maybe there's some truth here. Maybe I should listen and pay attention. But know this, that in the last days, he says it again. He's speaking to us. Praise God. Thank you, Timothy. You're in heaven now. But many years, many centuries ago, 19, 20 centuries ago, he put pen to paper. He was moved by the Holy Ghost. And the Lord saw you and me and the church of Jesus Christ on planet Earth in the latter days. And he sent through an encouraging word, a word of correction, a word to remind us. He said, but know this, in the last days there will be perilous times. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, denying the power. Listen, there's power when you stay. There's no power in quitting. There's power when you follow Jesus, not following a deceiving spirit. There's spirits that to deceive us. You're not supposed to be following a deceiving spirit. You follow the Word of God. Amen. I'm your pastor. I have to share this. You have to know this. The Good Shepherd. You know, David was a shepherd. And he knew the true shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. But he said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your rod, aina, boom, aina, boom, aina. They comfort me. They keep me online. They keep me safe. He leads me away from danger. Makes me to lie in streams of living waters. Nobody likes discipline, but God loves those. God chastens, He corrects those whom He loves. So come on. We're not going to be like these in the last days. We're following deceiving spirits, lovers of pleasure, lovers of themselves. We just flirted, left. To any one of these men, the word stay was a swear word. But stay, even when it's the easiest thing to do, which is to go, just stay. Think eternally, think heavenly, think covenant, think purpose. Be present and endure. Staying where God wants you to be is where you are planted. It brings growth, it makes the house stand, it brings forth blessing and purpose, makes your life bear fruit. The Hebrew word can help us understand it better. I'm going to try my best to pronounce it, Yashab. I don't know if I said it right. Y-A-S-H-A-B. It means to sit. It means to remain. To stay put. It also means to carry the idea of settling down. Making a place your home. Abiding there intentionally. Yashab doesn't only imply to a location, it implies to relationships and stability. Many people forget when they move, when they uproot themselves, they forfeit many God-ordained relationships. Favor comes not from effort, but from choosing to stay where God's life is. Like it says in John 15, abide, dwell, stay in the vine. I've always had the notion, God wants to move me, He'll move me. God's got my number. Amen. That's why it's important that we're intentional. God wants to speak to you. Lord, make it very clear. Make it clear. If it's your will, God, make it clear. I think God really was very clear to Jonah. Made it tough for him in the belly of the whale. He knew what he had to do. I always said, God, I'm here. I'm going to stick to the first commandment. Get planted. You said if we planted in the house, we'll bloom and flourish in the courts of our God. You want to move me? Thank you, Lord. I said it as well. Because years ago I had a call to ministry. I really felt God was going to call me to ministry, and it took forever, and I eventually realized, okay, if God's going to call me, He's going to call me. He'll make it obvious. I don't have to go and prod and look and knock and try. I'm just going to do what God wants me to do. And that night I remember I got called into the ministry. God already spoke to my wife before me. She was driving in the car, and the Holy Spirit already told her, tonight Brian's going to get called into the ministry. God started to speak to my family, friends. That night, it was an obvious, it was like day and night. Okay, you're going into the ministry now. It's like, yes, Lord. Don't be the one chasing things. Amen. Stay means to stand your ground like Shammah. Stay means not to quit. Don't quit your post under pressure. Settle, make this your home. God can send you from here. God can catapult you into your destiny. God's got your number. Don't be those who packed up and left and quit. I had the privilege to be in Israel at a place called Shiloh. That's the place when Joshua, after they conquered the promised land, that's where the Ark of the Covenant rested. It stayed there. It dwelt in Shiloh. Before many years later, David, after the Philistines captured it, and he moved it to Jerusalem. But it was first for 300 odd years, it was in a place called Shiloh. And that's where the Ark of the Covenant was. It was the house of God. It was a temple. It was the temple where people would go and worship. It stayed there. It was settled there. It represented stability in a community. The nation worshipped there. It was a central place. It was a shining light in the whole region, because it stayed there. The days of the tent was over. The days of the wandering was over. God's plan came to pass. No longer pack up the tent and let's move. No, God said, now I'm going to build. Now I'm going to establish. I'm going to have a place of permanence. Hallelujah. You're not a wanderer. You're not a gypsy. You have a name. You have a purpose, Christian. You're not meant to be a wanderer. Hallelujah. When the Philistines captured it, the glory departed, but David restored it and he set it up again. Your geographical location is never a limitation. If you're not satisfied with what's going on the inside, you won't be happy with what's going on the outside. And I preach to myself when I preach this. Somebody has to clean the street. Somebody has to preach the gospel. Somebody has to pay the bills. Somebody has to raise up the next generation. Hallelujah. You've got to see it. Somebody needs to shepherd. Might as well be you, it might as well be me. And God told Isaiah, will anybody go? Isaiah raised up his hand and said, I will go. Today, if God would say, will anybody stay? Will anybody remain? Can you say, like Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, I'll stay. I'll stay. You can send others, but I'll stay. Come on, hallelujah. Have you seen something today? Have you received the word today? Come on, God is good. He loves you and He loves me. Hallelujah. I'm going to do something. I want you to please turn your eyes towards the screen and let the song and the words speak to you today. Hallelujah. We can play. Thanks.
Overflowing grace, overflowing.
Come on, hallelujah. Come on, my cup overflows. That's a catchy song. Hallelujah. Whoa. Come on, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your goodness. Thank you that your cup runneth over on our lives. You pour out such a blessing, Lord, that there's no longer room to contain it. Thank you that you anoint our lives. Every person here today watching online in this auditorium, thank you. You have not forgotten us. You have not forsaken us. Thank you that you speak faith into the hearts of every person this morning. Where there's unbelief, thank you for faith. Where there's doubt, thank you for faith and strength this morning. Love. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, nobody's looking around. The question, the test, do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you allowed Him entrance into your heart? Say, Pastor, I've done, yeah, I think so. Well, the question is this. If you were to die today, I'm not saying you will, but if you were, would you go to heaven? Do you know that you know that you know? Let's cut to the chase. Let's leave all the religious facades. Are you born again? Will you go to heaven? If you can't say yes, I'm 100% convinced that if I die today, I'll go to heaven. Then I want to pray with you. Then there's a reason why you're here today. That God is with you. But He needs you to move forward. He needs you to make a decision. To follow Him. And that's why we in this church give everybody the opportunity, the chance to make right with God. To make peace with God. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, there's a stirring in your heart. You know, even while I'm talking, you're already feeling stirred up. There's this moving in your heart. It's the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He's speaking to you. You don't have to fear God. You just have to respond. So while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you say, that's me, my life isn't right. Then I want to pray with you, please. Allow me the privilege to lead you in a prayer that I pray, that we pray every Sunday to give people the opportunity. Just slip up your hand on the count of three while heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Forget the person next to you. This is between you and God. Will you please do that? One, two, three. Just slip it up. Thank you. Yes, donkey. Thank you. You see those hands up there in the middle. Thank you in the back. God bless you. There's a stirring in your heart. You know, God is speaking to you. Come. Come today. Let me pray with you, please. God is calling you. He's drawing you to Him this morning. There is a new beginning. To know Him. To know Him. Not do it your way, but to do it His way. One last time, you haven't raised your hand. Maybe you used to serve God, but you backslid. You want to come home. You want to make a recommitment. If that is you, please just raise your hand. Quietly, unashamedly. Thank you. God bless you. Donkey hands everywhere. Thank you. Thank you. Family, please look at me. We're going to close the service. We want to give every person the opportunity that raised their hand. Not to embarrass you, but to encourage you. There's too many of you I can't come to. I need you to do one thing for me, please. Take your personal belongings. Make your way to the nearest aisle and come meet me here. I want to pray with you. If that is okay, please. So again, we all please stand. I'm all, let's stand. And as we sing a song, all you wonderful people that raised your hand, just come. Just come now. Just come. Come and meet me here that I can pray with you. Thank
and
you.
All I need,
come on, obedience.
Is you, Lord. All I need.
Just come. Just come.
And all I need is you, Lord. It is you, Lord. All I need is you.
Jesus died on a cross for you publicly. You can make a stand for him publicly today. Come on, we're going to wait for you. There's still more of you. Come.
It's you, Lord. All I need is you.
All I need is yes.
And all I need is you.
Come on, one last time. We're going to wait for you. Just come, please, sir. Man, my donkey, come put it to us, please. Let's give them a hand, please. God's got to use somebody. It might as well be you and me. Thank you for coming forward here today. What an honor, what a privilege it is to pray with every one of you. I want to ask you to place your hand on your heart. You can raise the other hand as a sign of surrender if you can. And just say this loud enough that you hear your own words. It's your prayer. If you're watching online and you raised your hand, please join us in this prayer. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, this morning I publicly declare that I need you as my Lord and Savior. I repent of all my sins and I receive your forgiveness. Thank you for dying on a cross, going to hell, and on the third day, for being resurrected by the Father. I put my faith, my trust in you from this day forward. Be my Lord and be my Savior. In Jesus' name, I belong to you from this day forward. Amen and amen. Amen.